This is the World Cup Sound of Football.
And welcome everyone, this is indeed the World Cup Sound of Football, and I am indeed Chris Oakley. Joining me once again for more of the finest waffle this side of Antwerp are Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley. Evening men.
Good evening.
Well, here we are, about to watch the second World Cup semi-final between Spain and Germany in Durban. Not that we're in Durban, you understand, but anyway, many people are of the opinion, chaps, that this semi-final will provide us with the eventual 2010 World Cup winners. So that neatly gives us our first question, which I'll aim at you, Graham. Are you inclined to go along with that opinion or not?
I'm not really. I think it's still wide open, this tournament. I think all three, you can make a good claim for saying, yeah, they've got a really good chance of winning the World Cup. If I were a betting man, I'm really not sure where I'd put my money at the moment. You've got to look at the Netherlands and think, well, they've done really well. They just keep on winning games, despite, like, you know, whoever comes up against them, they just beat them.
Yes.
And they do seem to have got a good ethic going at this World Cup. You look at Spain, and you know they're coming up against teams that are trying to sort of like, you know, stop them playing, and yet they're wearing those teams down and coming off with 1-0 wins. And then you've got Germany, who just are playing with an open, flamboyant counter-attacking style, I suppose you could say, if you're being unkind, but it's working, and they're scoring bag loads of goals, and you know they're brightening up the tournament.
Indeed.
So I think it's any one of those three. I think the winner tonight will not be at an advantage over Netherlands, I don't think.
Fair enough. Terry, team news, just having a casual glance down both team lists there, we can see that as far as the Spaniards are concerned, we have got Torres on the bench, starting on the bench. Llorente's on the bench, but of course the usual range of stars who are going to be starting the match. And on the German side, Trakowski's starting this match. What have you got to say to that lot?
There seems to be some concern about Trakowski. Although he is a more experienced international, there is than the alternatives. There is some mutterings on Twitter that they would have preferred Toni Kroos to play in Tommy Müller's role. I've seen quite a lot of Toni Kroos last season for Bayer Leverkusen. It was his breakout season. He's a Bayern Munich player, but he was playing on loan at Bayer Leverkusen last year. And he was sensational for the times in which Bayer Leverkusen were sensational.
Really?
And then not so sensational when Bayern Leverkusen started to drop off. But he is shockingly low on experience, and I know Tommy Müller was low on experience as well, but this is a semi-final of the World Cup, and I don't know whether or not that's a good time to bring it in. So Jürgen Löw clearly agrees with me, and has gone for Trakowski, perhaps banking on experience, and hoping that perhaps, you know, although he's not as explosive a player as Müller, that he can do enough to engage his other equally other explosive players and produce a result. Pedro is perhaps a slight surprise. Maybe Llorente might have been persuaded. I mean, I suppose Torres being dropped is a bit of a surprise as well, even though he's had a pretty ropey World Cup. Mm. But because of who he is, it's a bit of a surprise to drop him. But you would have thought that perhaps Llorente would have done that. But then Pedro is much nippier. You know, centre forward, isn't he? Yep. Nippier striker, isn't he? Much more in line with the way Spain play, do not think.
Indeed, quite so. Of course, no Thomas Müller tonight for Germany. A minor setback because, you know, they've got Miroslav Klose up front. So that'll be all right then, won't it, Graham?
Well, yeah. I mean, he just keeps on going, doesn't he? And keeps on scoring goals. I think it's just, you know, we've been saying all along, it's like you know, the Podolski and Klose, you know, they may not have had like fantastic seasons at club level, but you know, get them to a tournament and they certainly know what to do.
Indeed.
We said in the first of these podcasts about the wealth of attacking options that Germany have got, and you know, and it's paying dividends for them. It depends on what sort of strategy they go out tonight, though. I think if they go and try and sort of like sit deep against Spain, and try and hit them on the counter-attack. I wonder how successful that's going to be.
One would imagine the way they've been playing, that they'd be perhaps be inclined to play on the front foot, considering the free and easy style they've adopted so far. Oh no, they're playing against Spain and they may lay themselves open if they do that. But, I mean, as many people have mentioned, it's the key is going to be getting the ball off Spain, so it's going to be a bit of cat and mouse, wouldn't you say?
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to call this. I mean, like, a part of me thinks, great, this is going to be like a goal-scoring competition. I know it sounds a bit stupid, but it's true. Like, you know, with Germany scoring one, then Spain scoring one. But I don't think... I'm not sure it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be more towards cagey than another goal feast for Germany and for Spain. So, but I'm interested in the choice of Pedro ahead of Llorente. I wonder if they want pace up front against the German centre halves, and I think instead of height, I think that's probably it.
Well, I've just
that could well be it.
Yes, I've just seen an interesting piece of trivia, which is that apparently there's never been a 0-0 in a World Cup semi-final, so that could strike off the option about it being so cagey that it becomes a stalemate. Let's hope it does bring about a flourish of goals. As I'm speaking, the teams are lining up for the national anthem, so we'll probably have to wrap up in a moment. But just to say, essentially, that this is, of course, a repeat of the Euro 2008 final, so Germany looking perhaps for a bit of revenge on that. And let's share the glory of this then, Graham, because before we spoke to Terry online, we were wondering if Spain have actually ever been to a semi-final of the World Cup before, and we both went our separate ways to try and find out, and it turns out that in 1950 there was a final group. There wasn't semi-finals, there was a final group, i.e. the last four, and Spain were in that group. They finished fourth in that. So, both teams, I suppose, looking for their own ways of trying to get the upper hand in this match, looking for the inspiration to drive them on. A snap prediction just in terms of this match then, Terry, what do you reckon? Inclined to go with Spain, as I would sense the majority of people are these last few days?
Yes, I am inclined to go with Spain. I think that Busquets is going to be the key player in that midfield. I think he's going to break up Germany's attacking midfielders, and Spain will win 1-0 or 2-1.
Okay, and Graham?
Oh, I was going to go for 2-1 as well to Spain, and I think I'm going to stick with that one. Yes, 2-1 Spain.
Well, I heard you, Terry, on when you appeared on the Two Footy Tackle podcast only a couple of days ago, saying that the romantics view is perhaps that Germany will win, and call me an old softy if you like, but I don't know, I'm just so impressed with the way they've been playing. I've got my fingers crossed that they will come out and just sock it to Spain. Whether they will or not, obviously, in real terms, it remains to be seen. But I'm going to go with Germany. And if they do play to the best of their ability, if they kind of prize open Spain, who knows? I've got my fingers crossed that they'll come up with some really mad result, like about 3-0. But I'll go with 2-0 to Germany. How about that?
That's a bit good on you.
Possibly one of the most wayward predictions I've made so far during this World Cup. I suggest, chaps, that we go off and watch this first half now. For those of you listening, we will speak to you in just a few moments after this short musical interlude. And you join us at the halfway stage of the match between Germany and Spain, and it's goalless, so it very much is turning out to be that cagey affair that we pretty much predicted. Starting off this time, I think, with yourself, Terry, it looks like Spain really have had most of the possession, and it took a while for Germany to get into their stride. Let's get the teeth in straight. If at all they did.
I think there were signs that they were getting into their strides after about half an hour. But the first half an hour, it was pretty much not all Spain by any means, but Spain were playing high possession football. Germany were at times reduced to long diagonal balls down the channels for Klose or Podolski to try and latch onto, with mixed success, it has to be said. I think this prompted our friend Richard Whittle to say on Twitter that Germany were playing like England.
I saw this, yes.
It was a bit unkind, but not necessarily inaccurate. But they seemed to regain their composure later on in the game, and by trying to maintain possession themselves, and particularly down the flanks, working the ball quite well and managing to create sort of chances, But if you look at the stats, you'll see I think they only actually had one shot. So, yeah,
they did.
So indeed, Tchaikovsky, which is a fine belter of a shot, but speculative all the same. So, and you know, Ozil and Klose have been guilty of some poor layoffs. It's got to be said. I'm sure as a result of being pressed and hurried in their work, they need to slow things down.
So, do you think they're looking a bit sort of nervy generally, Graham?
I don't think it's nervy. I think they're just coming up against a side that's like really on their toes. I mean, like Busquets as we said beforehand, he's mopping up so much in the midfield, and it really is breaking up Germany's play. And yeah, Terry, you're right. I mean, like they're having to try and search out opportunities. I can only remember one really clear sort of counter-attack opportunity they had in that first half, and that broke down quite quickly. So obviously, like, the counter-attacking sort of game is something that Spain have sort of looked at and thought, right, okay, yeah, we're gonna nip that in the bud. But yeah, that midfield is so packed out, isn't it?
At times, there's been one of two occasions when Spain seem to have left a bit of space sort of at the back, albeit when they've been on the ball and moving forward into sort of German territory. But then you sort of think, well, if only Germany could nick the ball and get a counter attack, there's been on one or two occasions a bit of space there to exploit.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I'd shudder to say that they're missing Müller. I mean, obviously, like, you know, he's had a good effect on them, but because Tchaikovsky's had having a good game, I think he's not standing out in their midfield as someone who's just like you know, just stepping in. It's interesting. I mean, like, you know, I think this is what's happened with most of Spain's games. They've not been bad games. They've been really interesting footballing games, but it's just not got that spark of wow, look at this is knockabout fun. These are very, very professional football matches, aren't they?
As I think we sort of alluded to in the first part, it was either going to be open season and both sides going frankly a bit nuts, or they were going to be very kind of defensive and just sizing each other up, which was always going to be the more likely option.
I think it was more wishful thinking on our part for thinking that it might be a bit more open, but no, obviously, like, this is...
I'll take the blame for that. That was chiefly my idea. I wouldn't wish to drag you into my personal delusions.
The thing about Spain's sort of way of doing things is by trying to create that 12th man by stretching the defence around so much with their possession football that they create enough space for an extra man unmarked to appear. And that's almost worked a couple of times, but Germany have had the nous to be able to recover the situation, much against my initial fears that they wouldn't be able to do that. Mm. They've actually proved to be very versatile and have been able to snaffle out just... And there are times when Ramos has been free and when Pedro has been free, and I'm sure there are other instances that I can't remember, and you thought, all right, they've got him there. And there's, you know, Boateng's come into the game a lot more towards the end of the half. And as in fact has come forward quite a lot, so there's that's intriguing how he seems to be doing. He's been seen on the other side. There's been switching. I mean, I'm intrigued by the way the Spanish attack keeps changing positions. Mm-hmm. Again, in a kind of hope that one of them can suddenly find themselves free, and that's how Spain do. I mean, what Mark Lawrenson erroneously calls is, you know, trying to look for the perfect goal, trying to make the that one extra pass. So no, they're not. They're waiting to get that one killer pass to a guy who's standing with no defenders around him, so that he can go ahead and score.
100% nailed on chance.
That's how Spain play football. That's kind of how you do possession football. I know, it's a bit of a shame, Lawrence, and maybe they're seeing it as a kind of, well, you know, they're overcomplicating things. Well, no, they're not, because if they just took the battering ram approach, they wouldn't do anything at all, and it would be a really boring game. So it's a really intriguing encounter, albeit, you know, a tactical battle, or perhaps
I suppose
two heavyweights.
The biggest criticism I could probably give it is that it looks a bit Champions League.
It's true. Nevertheless, it is engaging stuff.
It is, yes.
so many Barcelona players on the pitch probably says it all, doesn't it?
Well, Barcelona buying, isn't it, I suppose.
Yeah.
What do we think of the penalty? Özil, or the non-penalty?
Well, I think it's a replay. I came on here before seeing the replay. The replay
says it certainly looks like it was a foul.
Yes.
On Özil, and it looked like it was in the area. Or it might have been just outside the area.
Well, as it was Ramos making the tackle, I would have thought it was a stick-on foul, but, you know.
Indeed, yeah. I think the crucial thing that the referee probably saw was that, I don't know whether you noticed, but Özil lost control of the ball.
He did seem to go down very
easily. In a split second before, and I think he was looking for it. And I think the referee went, no, that you've gone looking for that. There's nothing there. But in fact, I think actually it was a foul. But, I mean, I guess you could understand a referee saying, well, you know, you've lost control of the ball, mate. So, tough titty.
Yes. You're leaning against an open door there, my old chum. Sergio Ramos seems to be getting a lot of the ball down the right wing for Spain.
Certainly, yes, he does, and at times he's doing very well with it. Apart from the fact that obviously Spain haven't scored, but yeah, he's in my notes. He's turning up quite a lot. His name. He should have been booked earlier on, nevertheless.
Just looking at a sort of few of the sort of stats. Not that I kind of bother too much with the kind of Champions League style thing of like how many miles a certain player has run during the course of a particular period of time and all that kind of stuff. But looking in terms of passing, looks like Lahm and Mertesacker are doing a good job there for the Germans, and Xavi and the aforementioned Ramos are passing the ball around well for Spain. It's definitely very much a case of both teams just sort of waiting, and seeing what comes up. And do you think on that basis we could be easily heading for extra time here?
Yeah, I do.
It's looking that way, isn't it?
I think the way it's panned out for Spain recently is the fact that they've gone like this, and then after about an hour and a bit, they finally broke through. I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up 1-0 Spain.
Yeah, certainly the here comes the biggest, stating the obvious, but the first goal will open things up somewhat.
Ding!
There you go.
Congratulations, Terry. Have a spot.
Well, you know, what can you say?
Well, you can say anything but cliche.
It's difficult by this stage of the World Cup to say anything other than a cliche in every other sentence, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it's going to be another fascinating half now. Well, let's see if they mix things up with the substitutes, perhaps bring someone else on the bench.
I think they're looking very organised, aren't they?
If nothing changes,
it's fair to say that the first half, although it was 0-0, there was plenty of incident. Ding!
I think we should just play this for the rest of the game. Well, I reckon we'll do that in our own time, because I think, to be honest, it's time we pushed off and watched the second half. I see old Marty Feldman. Sorry, Mesut Ozil has just got on the pitch there. So
very good.
We shall go off and watch the second half, and we may play more silly games in part three. So join us for that.
I got nobody, nobody but you.
And welcome along to part three of this particular edition of The Sound of Football, where we're covering Spain against Germany, and the final score was Spain 1, Germany 0. A goal from Carlos Puyol, I think, sort of with about 15 minutes or so remaining, somewhere in that region. And has to be said, Spain, I think, just had that extra little bit of quality over Germany in the end to see them through. Would you agree, Graham?
Yeah, well, I think, just as we predicted, I think they would grind them down and get a goal. They could have scored, of course, beforehand. Villa was very, very close, wasn't he? Gazza style, leaping in at the back stick, and the goal came from a corner, very well taken. Not really surprising in the end. I suppose there's no nice way of saying we're going to win this game and you're not going to really have a chance, but. That's really the way it panned out in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Terry, kind of ironic, really, that the goal should come from a corner, given all the possession that Spain had in that game.
Yeah, although, I mean, crucially, I think it was Iniesta who went past Philipp Lahm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then managed to get into the box and forced Schweinsteiger to concede the corner with a block. And as was correctly pointed out by the commentary team, that it was the first time that anyone had got past Philipp Lahm.
Mm.
And it led to the corner and led to the subsequent goal. And yes, it's a shame that for Germany that they weren't able to defend the corner. But then, I mean, Puyol in mid-flight, heading towards a ball, is a pretty fearsome, pretty intimidating sight, and difficult to defend against. But yeah, I mean, I suppose there is a tinge of disappointment that it had to come to what is usually a fairly routinely defended set piece.
Yes.
But I mean, in other ways, there was so little between them, quality-wise, that I guess it was going to require something like that.
Mm.
But in perhaps a more accurate way, I mean, with the chances that Spain created in the second half, there's some wonderful in that spell just earlier on with Pedro and Villa, when Neuer had to make some saves, and you know, it was really, really good stuff. And on the balance of that, you'd have to say that that Spain, you know, deserved their goal when it came their way. I haven't looked at the stats, but I'll wager I don't think Germany really created too many clear-cut chances. I mean, that Toni Kroos shot,
that much of a serious save during the game.
I can tell you, it finished Spain 13 shots on goal, 5 to Germany, 8-3 in terms of shots. 5-2 in terms of shots on target.
Mm. I mean, one of those was not even obviously Toni Kroos's volley from half volley, not long after it came on, mm-hmm. which forced a smart save. But I mean, you know, wasn't a great shot. So I mean, and when you narrow it down, I mean, Klose was pretty much squeezed out. He had very little space with which to move, I sound a bit down, but I'm not. I'm pleased and delighted for Spain, and I really, really enjoyed the game. It was a really engaging football match, as we said before. But yeah, just a slight tinge of disappointment that it had to end on a set piece or be decided by a set piece.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm kind of quite pleased actually that Spain have done as well as they have, and they've got through to the final and all that. But if there's any slight feeling of kind of injustice, it's probably just along the lines of the fact that the last three games, you know, Spain have won by 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and in the previous two before this, of course, Germany were banging in four here and four there. You kind of think, oh, the purist in me just wanted this, perhaps you know, Germany to get what they deserved in terms of playing the more open attacking football. But there we
are. But we said before the game, we wouldn't be surprised if it was 1-0 to Spain, would we?
Indeed.
I mean, it's just, we didn't want it to be like that, but yeah, it's turned out exactly that way, and it would be a shame if the final's like that. Shame if the final's like that.
It's ironic, really, because I think Spain and Holland, if you compare them to the teams they were 2 years ago, I think they've both adopted this approach of just kind of taking the pace of their game down a notch or two and being a little bit more cautious for the sake of just
doing
getting
the
result, if you like. I mean, they're not sort of playing boring football and losing the kind of exciting quick passing stuff, because both teams, Spain and the Netherlands, can do that. But I think everyone seems to be moaning about the fact that both teams are not very exciting and all that. I think all they're doing is just being a bit more kind of cautious, frankly, and just wanting to make sure they get the result rather than playing to the gallery, as it were. I don't know if I'd share that opinion with anybody else, but there we are.
I'd share that assessment of it. Yeah, I mean, they both play very measured tactics, don't they?
Yeah.
But they're both fantastic football teams with brilliant players. But perhaps you get the impression that perhaps they don't set the pulses racing. Maybe we watched too much Premier League football and don't, you know, maybe we can't quite appreciate that. But they just never seem, you get the impression that they're not in top gear.
Mm.
And you just hope that one of them doesn't end up winning the World Cup in second gear. You'd like to see them both go full tilt and at it in this game.
Yeah.
And if they do, it'll be an absolute stormer. But you just worry that now they've got to the final, it'll be a little bit too tense and a little bit too, you know, too cagey. But,
Okay, Chris, here's a trivia question for you. When was the last World Cup final between teams that had never won it before?
Oh, lordy. between both teams that hadn't won it before.
Yep, come on.
Oh, no. That's a bad... We could be here all night while I try and think of that one. That could be... would that be something like 78, I'd guess at?
Oh, we had a spot on. There you go.
Is it?
On. Oh. Yes.
And I claim my £5. Thank you.
Well done.
Yes, I know. That's I've surprised myself with that. Anyway, yes, we saw, as you said, Terry, he was hoping that we'd have seen Kroos at some point, and sure enough, he did come on, but I guess by that stage it was all a little bit sort of, they were already against the tide somewhat.
Yes, I mean, I don't think that they knew quite... I mean, the thing is that he replaced Kroos with Tchaikovsky, and they brought on Tchaikovsky, it started with Tchaikovsky over Kroos, and I thought, well... I mean, if you thought that that was going to win you the match, mate, then why didn't you pick him from the start? Mm. And it just didn't. It was an unconvincing substitution in from a coach that's gone, well, you know, the problem is that 1 to 11, you know, we're brilliant, but maybe we just don't have that kind of depth. I mean, Gomez finished the game on the pitch, and, you know, not much is going to be achieved with Gomez on the pitch.
Gomez!
So... You know, it was sort of, you know, in that respect, it, you know, I think that perhaps they kind of, they weren't able to change the game with substitutions. And that's possibly something that will become rectified in the next couple of years when Germany play next door in Poland and Ukraine in 2 years' time. But for now, they are out and it's Spain and the Netherlands and... I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be a tremendous final, I should think. And maybe what that final needs, without wishing to kind of dwell on the more negative aspects of the game, is for maybe one or two of them to start kicking lumps out of each other, and then they might kind of make things a bit more exciting. I don't know, because I think that is going to be a very kind of slow, cautious game. Sorry, go on, Graham.
Well, the Dutch and the Spanish, it'll be like a mid-90s El Clasico, won't it?
Yes, indeed. There's plenty of connections there, isn't there, Just?
Absolutely, yeah. No, there's much to look forward to. Some top-class players, an all-European final, which is good stuff for us fans of European football. It's going to be wicked. It's going to be, and we'll be covering it on the Sound of Football podcast.
We will indeed. I was going to say we'll
nice
be back. seamless.
There you go.
Yeah, we will be back on Sunday. Never fear, we can't pass up this opportunity to cover such a tremendous event. So do stick around and make sure you download the podcast or listen in or do whatever you do for that. How much time we got left? We better start wrapping up.
Are we not going to cover the third place playoff, Chris? I don't know. I was planning to be riveted to my seat for that.
That's probably the only way you'd end up watching it, I suspect. I don't know, who's it? Would it be Uruguay and Germany? That could be quite a good game, really. I'm not sure we're going to be covering it. But you know, watch the Sound of Football website for details of that, just in case we have a last-minute change of heart. You never know. That's more or less it for this particular edition of the Sound of Football. But don't forget, you can get in touch with us at all the usual stations. Twitter, at Sound of Football is the account you should be looking for, at Sound of Football. We've got a Facebook page, and we strongly urge you to go along to footballfairground.com, where you can find all of our output, including things like Sound of Football, your links you need for Sound of Football, The Onion Bag, and also Charlize Theron's World Cup Babe game. If you haven't played that already, I strongly urge you to give it a try. All that aside, we'll be back next, as I said, for our last World Cup Sound of Football on Sunday night, when we'll be giving you our personal take on the 2010 World Cup final. But until then, thanks very much indeed for listening, and do join us again soon for another Sound of Football. But for now, it's goodbye from myself, from Terry, and from Graham. Goodbye.
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 Dirty pool, old man. I like it.